Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And it's Sunday, June 9th. We're here every Sunday on New Visions Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Time.
Yes.
And we're happy to be here. You know, it's funny, Ed and I, right before we got started here this evening, I said, well, let's just do a mic check. And I checked my mic, and he didn't say anything. And he said, you didn't hear that? Ed is quite the cut-up if you get to know him personally, and it's a lot of fun to hang out with him. But we're glad to be here, and it's always good to come together and study God's Word.
Amen.
And, you know, we're grateful to Ray Powers for allowing us to be a part of the New Visions Radio family.
You know, I don't know what we'd do without him.
I know.
I don't know where we would be, if we'd even be on the radio.
We wouldn't have this format. I mean, you know, we were introduced to this by New Visions Radio. Somebody came to us and said, hey, would you be willing to do this? And it just was laid in our lap. Mm-hmm. And I think we all felt like here at Prophecies of Hope that was just an invitation from God.
Yes.
And so, you know, here we are amongst all these independent music people, and we're just privileged to be here.
Amen.
And so before we get started, we always like to tell people a little bit about this ministry. Ed, would you do that?
Our ministry is located in Stanton, Virginia, 1743 West Beverly Street. Sometimes I can remember the address, sometimes not. Anyways, if you're in the area, come visit us.
Sure.
We have our services on Wednesday evening at 7, which is basically a Bible study, but prior to the study, we always have prayer time, mm-hmm. where people present their praises as well as their concerns, and we pray about that before our study. Mm-hmm. And then for our church service, we meet on the Sabbath, which is Saturday, mm-hmm. the seventh day of the week, and we have a Bible study at 9:30, and we have our worship hour at 11. And on Sabbath, we live stream everything, and also the study is available via Zoom. And on Wednesday evenings, the study is available via Zoom as well.
Yes. And you can find us online at prophecyhope.com, right? And if somebody wants to contact you, Ed, how do they do that?
They can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
And you can reach me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com, or you can send a general email to office@prophecyhope.com. And, yeah, just hand me that remote, Ed. There you go. An air conditioning heater system.
Yeah.
And the fan is making noise, and we have arrangements to get that replaced. And I could hear it coming through the headphones.
Okay.
I apologize for that, friends. I forgot to turn it off. But it does keep it nice and comfortable in here.
Yeah.
So, but you can reach us there at prophecyhope.com. And also, there are lots of sermons on there. Each week, we add a new sermon. And we have many of the radio programs archived there on prophecyhope.com. Let's see. There was something else. We have an annual Bible series, don't we?
That's coming up this September.
September, yeah. And I think that's going to be the week. Remember, the week begins on Sunday. Sunday's the first day of the week.
Right.
It's going to be the week of September 15th, but we're going to begin on Monday the 16th. And that will be at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, USA. And that'll be live streamed on prophecyhope.com. So we're not going to Zoom that, but that will be streamed. And I think that's pretty much. Oh, one other thing. I wanted to say a couple of things. One is, you know, we want to invite you all to open your Bible with us each week. When we read these verses, we actually have, Ed uses a Bible program.
Right.
And you'll hear me sometimes. You can hear this in the mic. I turn my pages, and I love the old-fashioned way. But open a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, contact us, and we'll try to get you a Bible.
The reason we say this is because there's power in reading God's Word. There's power to give you understanding. There's power to give you knowledge of what the Bible actually says.
Amen.
We try to not express our opinions, but to just simply read and share what the Bible says.
Yes. And just to show you the difference that it can make with you seeing the words and reading them for yourself, Ed, many years ago, I and Rick and his wife came over to your house, and we had read a particular text. Actually,
right.
I think Mary was reading.
Right.
And you said, hold on a minute.
Let me read.
Yes. And that made a huge difference,
yes.
didn't it? Because
yes.
you could see what your Bible said without somebody else putting their inflection. You could read it for yourself.
And it was different than my church said, and it was different than pretty much all churches said.
Different than what the church I grew up in said, but it was just letting the Bible speak.
Right. And that's, if you're really searching for truth, if you really want to know what the Bible says versus what your church, your pastor, your friends say,
what
read
we
it for
say.
Yourself. Yeah, what we say, yeah.
Just read the Bible. So, you know, we just want to encourage you to open your Bible and just read it along with us and make notes in it, you know, or if you're afraid to write in it. Some people don't like writing in their Bible. I make lots of notes in
mine. Yeah, I didn't like writing in my Bible at first either, but I got over it when I realized how helpful it was for me.
Yeah. And, you know, we can talk about that maybe in a future program, just how we can study.
Right.
And that might help some of you. But we want to encourage you to open your Bible. If you've never done it before, you know, there's a we can help you with those things. And also, if anyone wants a personal Bible study, a good way to start is by tuning in on the Wednesday nights and by tuning in on Sabbath morning. And just seeing, and that would be via Zoom if you want that link. And sometimes we can have a personal study as well.
Right.
So we're happy to help with those things. And the goal is to teach you how to read your Bible, and then you can take it to other people and
sure.
study with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And have your own ministry.
Right.
It's a blessing. So to get us started, I just wanted to say that because this has been on my heart. You know, we try to help people to come to know God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and to have a relationship.
Right. We want to be followers of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not followers of any ministry, any preacher, any YouTuber, any people on the radio, including us.
That's
be
correct.
Followers of Jesus Christ.
Amen. And the only way you can do that is by prayer and opening God's Word.
Yeah.
So, speaking of prayer, Ed, would you get us started here?
Sure. Father in heaven, we're grateful again for this time you allowed for us to open your word and to study it and to see the plan of salvation that you've put in place that allows us not only to experience eternal life, but to experience life more abundantly on this earth that we're living right now. So, Father, as we study these things, give us wisdom and knowledge, guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Well, Ed, in the last week, we were reading about baptism.
Right.
And we went to a lot of different texts, and I was wondering if we could just kind of give an overview of what took place. When was baptism kind of introduced in the Bible, and what was said about baptism?
Okay, well, let's start in Matthew chapter 3, just as a review. We talked about this some last week, and let's go ahead and read verses 6 through 12 of Matthew chapter 3. This is going to be the modern King James Version. And they were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins, talking about John the Baptist. But seeing many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, "O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits of worthy of repentance. And do not think to say within yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.'" You know, oftentimes we say, "Well, I'm part of this church, so I'm good." Back then, it was their claim that they had Abraham as their father, so they were good. They didn't need anything else.
It's the same mentality, isn't it?
So continue on in verse 9. "For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And now also, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bring forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water to repentance, but he who comes after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will cleanse his floor and gather his wheat into the storehouse. He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire."
Mm.
So this person he's talking about, obviously, is Jesus.
Yes. So it mentions a couple of things. It mentions this I baptize you with water unto repentance in verse 11.
Right.
And then it says, he who is coming after me is mightier than I, that's Jesus, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire.
Right.
So that's by way of review, what do we determine from the Bible? How do we determine what this means?
Well, there's several verses. I'm just going to talk about John chapter 7 real quickly,
okay,
where Jesus
sure.
talks about, gives this promise of a well of water springing up out of your belly, a river water, I believe it says, out of your, and he was talking about the Holy Spirit, but it says it hasn't been given yet because Christ was not glorified yet.
Okay.
And so it takes us to Acts chapter 2. Christ has been crucified on the cross. He is risen again. He has, in Acts chapter 1, he tells his disciples, wait in Jerusalem until for the promise of the Father. And he talks about, you shall be given the Holy Ghost with power so you can proclaim the gospel. And so here in Acts chapter 2, can you read the first few verses of Acts chapter 2?
Sure. Yeah, this is, I'm reading from the New King James. You just tell me when to stop.
Okay.
Maybe 1 through 4?
Yes.
Okay, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
So the purpose of receiving the Holy Spirit, the purpose of having these tongues of fire, was not just to experience that, not just to be able to speak in tongues.
Right.
It was to empower them to spread the gospel.
Yes.
And the gospel is the good news. It's the way of salvation. How can I be saved from my sins? Not in my sins, but from my sins.
Yes.
And so this is the power of the Spirit of Christ in you. And of course, if you have the Spirit of Christ, you have the Spirit of His Father as well.
Yes, we've talked about that at length in the past.
And that's what enables you to have a changed life, a changed heart, a changed mind, so that you're now living according to God's commandments. This is how people are prepared to have eternal life.
Yes.
Because sin is death. Sin is transgression of God's law, basically just being disobedient evidence. And remember, what does your Bible say? It was divided flame?
Yes. The two tongues seem to represent the Father and the Son.
Versus saying divided as the New King James,
yes,
or cloven as the King James says. But it goes on to say in Romans 5, having been reconciled by the death.
I think something's bothering me this evening. So it says here, for when we were sliced, died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation.
So, out of a woman, having come under the law, that he might redeem those under the law. And so that tells us that God has sent the Spirit of His Son. This is part of in Galatians chapter 3, in verse 26, it says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. I'm not sure that's accurate. That's the modern King James. But it goes on to say, for as many as were baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. How do we put on Christ? We receive the Spirit of Christ.
Yeah, it's actually the faith of Jesus.
Yes.
And the New King James changes that.
It says,
also.
Actually, it says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
What verse was that again?
That's 26.
Verse 26.
I had to check, because so often that's confused in the Bible in different translations, because the faith of Jesus is the reason why we have this promise of the Father, because he was faithful to his Father. He obeyed his Father. He spoke the words that his Father gave him to speak. He performed miracles through the Spirit of God working in him. So this is the faith of Jesus that we talk about. And sometimes different versions confuse faith in Jesus or yes. the faith of Christ.
So when we read that Romans 5:10 and it talks about we shall be saved by his life,
right?
You know, it's some people believe that that's talking about the life that he lived. But if we look at it in context,
right.
it's speaking of the life that Jesus lives now.
Yeah, he wants
today.
To live in you and
right.
in me.
Because remember, Jesus, in Acts chapters, we were in chapters 1 and 2, he ascended to the heavens. They watched him go up.
Right.
So now he's glorified. He's by the Father. He's now our intercessor, our mediator.
Our comforter, our advocate.
Yes. And so it's a beautiful thing that now he has experienced something that his Father has not. So what better intercessor can we have? Because Jesus has lived on this earth as we are.
He was tempted in all ways like we are.
Yes.
And yet without sin.
It's a beautiful thing.
He's had our experience, so now he was perfected to be the captain of our salvation, according to Hebrews chapter 2. And the way he was perfected, he experienced life as we experienced.
Yes.
And he learned obedience by sufferings, is what Hebrews chapter 2 says. So he has our experience. Now he's the perfect mediator.
Absolutely.
He's the perfect comforter. He's the perfect advocate. He's the perfect intercessor because he has our experience, but he also knows the ways of heaven. He knows his Father. He knows the commandments of his Father and what's necessary for salvation.
Yes. And, you know, that's a beautiful way to put it. He knows the ways of heaven. I mean, it's amazing to me when we look at this. And then when we think about the fact that he has experienced these things, who better? You know, remember what Christ said to his disciples,
right.
I will come to you.
Right.
And he didn't say somebody else.
Right.
And so many people are under the idea, under the misconception that someone else is coming.
No one else has the experience that Christ has.
That's right.
He is the only one that is able to do those things.
The Father didn't come and die.
No.
The Son did. There's not a third being called the Holy Spirit that came and died.
No, we have Christ, the Spirit of Christ has been sent into our hearts. And we know there's no other way to have access to the Father except through Christ.
Yes. So, go ahead.
John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and life. I see that sign all over the place in the neighborhoods,
right.
but they never complete the verse.
Right. No one comes to the Father except
but through him.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, this is the thing when we think about this and we think about Christ in you.
Yes.
Right? It's Christ in you.
Right.
Friends, when you read these texts, this is why we say read the words on the page, because so many of us have been taught something contrary to what all of these verses are saying.
Right. And last week, at the end of the program, I was looking for this text. I thought it was in 1 John 4, but it's in 1 John chapter 5.
Sure.
And let me start in verse 1. This is the modern King James Version again. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Talking about born again. We've heard that term for years, being born again. Well,
yes.
What does that really mean? It means dying to sin mm-hmm. because we've been baptized into the death of Christ and we've been raised into a new life with him. When you're raised out of the water, you begin a new life in him. Everyone who loves him, who begets, also loves him who has been born of him. If you love God, you're going to love his Son.
Mm-hmm.
By this we know that we love the children of God, whenever we love God and his commandments. So if we love God, we know that we're going to love his children. When we've been born again,
right.
we're going to love each other. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everything that has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God.
You know, this is a very important text because so many people say they believe Jesus is the Son of God, but they really don't believe that Jesus
yeah.
is the Son of God. And what a powerful text this is. You know, when we look at these things, you were talking about being born again, and I know we've looked at it dozens and dozens of times. Many of these texts we have, But we need to be reminded of these things constantly. How many times do you see a radio or hear a radio ad before it sticks?
Yeah. Right?
Or see something on TV before you say, oh, what was that ad for? The Bible, we have to read it because it's so comprehensive.
Right.
There's so much here. And I just wanted to say this one other thing, you know, talking about being born again. Romans 6 gives us that whole, what that's all about.
Can we just go to John chapter 3 real quick
please.
Before that? And let me find it. John chapter 3.
All right.
I don't know how many people listening may be familiar with a man named Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee, one of the Jewish leaders. Well, let's just read and see what John chapter 3,
Tells us about it.
Starting with verse 1. Can you read verses 1 through 7?
Sure.
1 through 8.
Okay, 1 through 8. John chapter 3, 1 through 8. You know, my Bible actually has a heading here. It says, The New Birth.
Yes.
So here's what it says. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher, come from God, and no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit.
You see the effect of the Spirit on their life, but you don't see the Spirit itself, is what it's saying.
I see.
You can see the wind blowing, the effect it has
the
on trees, but you don't see the wind.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I've had...
You can hear it, you can feel it, but you don't see it.
Yeah. It's unfortunate in some ways, but I'm fortunate in many ways that people in my life have said, you're different than you used to be. And that's because, and I ask them, for better or for worse? And they say, for better. You're much better. Because that's what happens when you know Jesus.
Right.
He changes you.
Amen.
And the thing is, he doesn't make those changes if you don't want to be changed.
Right.
He doesn't force himself. So we have to be willing.
You also have to participate in that change.
Absolutely. It's there's action involved.
Make a choice. Make a decision, and God will help you carry that through.
Amen. So what happened with this account here?
So what happens is, you know, Jesus was telling Nicodemus, in order to be part of the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. You have to be born of water, talking about baptism, and of the Spirit, which is that new life in Christ Jesus.
Okay.
And, you know, Jesus continues to talk to Nicodemus, and most people don't understand when this most famous, I would say this is the most famous text in the Bible, in John 3:16. Jesus is still talking to Nicodemus, talking about being born again.
Yes, he is. And John, well, let's read those texts.
Okay.
You want to just pick up in verse 9 and just let people see the whole account?
Sure. Why don't you go ahead and do that, Mark?
Sure. It says in verse 9, this is after Jesus is talking about everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you a teacher in Israel and do not know these things? I got to stop there. So here this man was a Pharisee. He was a teacher. He was a lawyer.
He was a leader.
He was a leader, a religious leader. And he doesn't know what the scripture said.
Yeah.
He had seen it, but he didn't understand it.
Right.
And how many times does that happen today, do you think?
Yes.
You know, we see that constantly, don't we?
Right.
And when you hold people to the Bible, it's like, well, I believe, but what does the Bible say?
Yes, exactly.
What does the Bible say?
This is what my church teaches, but what does the Bible say? This is what my pastor preachers, yeah. What does the Bible say?
And you know, when this man came to Jesus, he came by night, and he said in verse 2, we know that you are a teacher, come from God.
Mm-hmm.
So the Pharisees, at least more than one,
right.
It wasn't just Nicodemus, somebody else knew that he was a teacher,
yes.
Right? So it goes on here, let's see, let's pick it back up. Where did I start? Oh, here we go, verse 11. Most assuredly, this is Jesus speaking, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify and what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe it if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man, be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Okay, let's talk about this here, because this
sure.
Verses 12 and 13 may be a little confusing. Verse 11 says, truly, truly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Mm-hmm. And no one has ascended up to heaven except he who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven. Jesus is saying, no one's gone up to heaven to learn heavenly things and has come back down to teach you heavenly things. I'm the only one that's come down from heaven to teach you these heavenly
Amen.
Things, and yet you don't believe me.
Right. And they knew that the Messiah was to come, right?
Yes.
They understood this somehow, but they were rejecting him.
They knew the time prophecy. This was the time.
Yes.
Prophesied in the Bible, the date. They knew the dates that the Messiah was going to come,
sure.
Yet they did not believe.
And so he refers back to Moses here,
yeah.
And, which he knows that Nicodemus knows this account.
Right.
When he says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So what's this talking about, Ed?
So, you know, the nation of Israel, after they were brought up out of Egypt, out of their slavery, they had a difficult time being obedient to God, much depended on who the leader was. After they became a nation, they established themselves in the area of Israel, where they conquered the land.
Mm-hmm.
Much of the time, they would worship other gods. Or during their time in the wilderness, they complained to God,
right.
We don't like the food you give us. You brought us out in the wilderness to die. And this is what was happening. They were in the wilderness on their way to the promised land, and they were complaining.
Mm-hmm.
So God sent serpents to bite them, and I believe it was like 3,000 died.
Wow.
And they asked Moses to intervene with God.
Right.
So God told them to build this rod with a serpent on the top,
mm-hmm.
and all they had to do is to lift up their head and look at the serpent, and they would be cured and would live.
That's pretty simple.
Yes.
Just to look at that serpent that was lifted up on the pole, right? On the stick. And so that's what he says. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
Talking about himself.
Yes. Jesus is the Son of Man. And then it goes on, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
So when you look at the example Jesus gave of how they were saved in the wilderness, it required action.
Yes, they had to look.
Faith requires action. If you believe something, you're going to do something.
Yes, it does. It wasn't just saying, I believe. They had to look.
Yeah.
And really, how simple was their salvation
right.
at that moment? It was so simple.
Yeah.
And really, salvation today is very simple.
Look to Jesus Christ.
That's it. And yeah. that's what he's saying here.
Invite him into your life.
Yes. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
Yeah.
So we have to believe. And how can we believe without knowing?
And how can we know unless someone preaches?
Yes. Yeah. Or unless we open the Bible yeah. and read it for ourselves.
Right.
Right? I mean, Paul said these words.
Yeah.
So let's continue on here. So I'm going to read verse 15 again, because a lot of times, and I'm going to keep reading it, if
yes.
that's okay.
Yes.
Because so many people read verse 16 and stop.
By itself, yeah.
Yeah. But it says in verse 15, that whoever believes in him, that's in Jesus, should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, and his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God.
You know, the day and age we live in now, I'm sure this has always been the way throughout history. Most crime, not all, but most is done in darkness.
True. Yeah, that's
when it's dark out.
That's very true.
When you can't be seen as easily.
Yes. And so really, if we don't believe in Jesus and we don't accept him, it's a crime.
Yeah.
It's sad, yeah. But it's a crime. And, you know, think about what this is saying, Ed. When we look at this, it says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The problem is people don't want to believe in Jesus.
Right.
So they're condemning themselves.
Let's go back to chapter 5.
Sure.
And I want to continue reading starting at verse 9.
Okay.
This is John, the Apostle John, speaking here. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified about his Son. He who believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he does not believe the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God has given us everlasting life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I have written these things to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God.
So when this talks about believing in the Son of God, what does that mean to you, Ed? Because so many people say it, but they're not believing literally that God has a Son.
Right. That's where it has to begin. You have to understand that God has a Son. His name is Jesus. God gave a record of his Son at Christ's baptism. This is my beloved Son, whom I well pleased. At the Transfiguration, this is my Son. Hear him.
Yes.
Jesus says he's the Son of God. His disciples say he's the Son of God. Paul, he had this interaction with Christ on the road to Damascus. And immediately after he received his sight, after 3 days, he was baptized and began to proclaim that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Mm. He started saying that immediately. Yet most of the world says Jesus is not the Son of God. You look at any religion in the world, they deny that Christ is the Son of God. Whether it's Muslim, whether it's Jewish, whether it's Christian, they all deny that Jesus is the actual literal Son of God.
Yeah. Now, just to clarify, I know we've talked about this many times, but some of you might be listening for the first time. And what Ed's talking about here is all Christians will say, they use those words, well, of course Jesus is the Son of God. But they believe that they'll say Jesus is God. Jesus never said he was God. He always said he was the Son of God.
It comes down to this doctrine of the Trinity. That's, I don't know any Christian church that does not believe it.
Right.
Where it says that Jesus is not the Son of God, but he's God the Son.
Yeah.
There are many people out there, especially in this day and age, that will say, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that's child sacrifice.
Wow. That's
I've heard pastors say that. They are so and love with the Trinity. They are so drunk with the wine of Babylon.
Yeah.
They will say all kinds of things and attempt to justify it.
Yeah. I mean, if you do a history search, if you do a deep Bible study, you will find that the Babylonians, that's why you're talking about Babylon, right, they worshipped deities, false deities, triads of deities.
Right.
And remember what God said in the garden. He said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." He was speaking to his son.
Right.
And how are we made in the image of God? Well, Adam was made from the dust. He was a person.
He was formed in the dust, and God breathed into him the spirit of life.
Yes.
Those two components create a living being.
Right, the dust and the breath, right?
Yeah.
The body and the breath. And then Eve came from the bosom, a rib, of Adam.
Yes. She was not made of the dust. She was made from Adam.
Yes. And the two became one flesh. It doesn't say anything about three becoming one.
Right.
There's two that become one flesh. So that's the image of God,
yes,
that the Father has a begotten Son, yes, who came from his bosom, according to John 1:18.
He preceded and came forth from the Father.
And this is what Jesus is preaching the whole time he's on earth.
Right.
The whole time he was here, he was preaching to everyone, saying, "I am the Son of God."
Right.
And he was also considered the Son of Man.
Because he was born of Mary.
Yes.
She conceived.
So,
yes,
this is beautiful to me because we were talking about being born again.
Yes.
And I had somebody years ago ask me, "Was Jesus born again?" And I said, "Well, let me just say..."
Probably not in the way they're thinking, but
right,
yes.
I said, "Let me say what the Bible says." We see that he was brought forth from the Father.
Yes.
And when we look at those texts, if you look, it means born from.
Yeah.
So he was born sometime in eternity past from his Father, from the bosom of his Father.
Right.
When he came to this earth, he was born again, but as a man,
right,
or a human. So
he was born the Son of Man.
Yes. So here he is, this divine being that became like fallen flesh, like you and me. We're born as fallen flesh. And by what Christ did, we're born again so that we can be partakers of the divine nature. Not that we become divine, but we partake in Christ. And that's... So you see the beautiful cycle there?
Can I just... I have to go to Romans 8.
Yes.
Just briefly here.
Please.
Starting with verse 1. This is Paul speaking. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh..." There wasn't anything wrong with the law. It's the weakness of our flesh.
Right.
"God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us..."
Mm.
"...who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." You hear Paul saying, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh.
His own Son.
Yes.
Right? So that shows possession, right?
Yes.
So the Father has a Son. He had to have a Son to send. Jesus was the Son of God before he came to earth. He became the Son of Man when he came to earth.
When we go to Hebrews chapter 2, this is where it talks about that... that Jesus was perfected as the captain of our salvation through sufferings, verse 10. And I'm going to skip down to verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "For truly he did not take the nature of angels, but he took hold of the seed of Abraham. He became human. Therefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like his brothers." In all things. Some Bibles may say in all ways. I think the King James says in all ways it behooved him to be made like his brothers, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of his people. For in that he himself has suffered, having been tempted, He is able to rescue those who are being tempted.
Yeah, mine says able to aid those who are being tempted. That's talking about now.
Because he's had our experience.
Yes.
And he overcame. He was tempted in all ways like us, yet without sin. So he has a knowledge how to overcome, and he can share that knowledge with us. He can empower us to overcome sin in our lives.
So this brings us back to where we had started, this baptism.
Yes.
Right? And baptism is a part of this process.
Right.
And it's not just an outward display.
No.
It's something that Jesus said we must do.
Yes.
So that might raise the question, you know, I have to cover this because so many people, when you say this, well, I haven't been baptized. Well, you know, seek out baptism. Yeah. And what if somebody has died without being baptized? That comes up a lot.
When you remember the conversation we read in John 3 with Jesus and Nicodemus, mm-hmm. He said, if you want to be part of the kingdom of God, you need to be born of the water and the Spirit.
That's right.
It wasn't just, okay, you have to check off these two things and then you're good.
Right.
He's not saying that. This is the way of salvation. This is how you overcome sin in your lives, by being born again. Baptism, you're dying to sin. You're raised into a new life with Christ. Peter, at the day of Pentecost, preaching in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit.
Yes. So, and actually, we can receive that without measure.
Yes.
And so, this brings us back to the information that we have in the Bible. We have no record as to whether the thief on the cross was baptized.
Right.
There's no record. We don't know. But we do know that he, up to that point, he was not repentant. So
he was mocking Christ.
Right.
Both thieves mocked Christ initially.
They did. But eventually what happened?
He saw his condition. He came to terms with the condition of his life, mm-hmm. and knew that if something wasn't brought about, he was going to die eternally.
Right.
And he saw Jesus Christ. I don't know what knowledge he had of Christ. I don't know if he heard him speak. I don't even know if he had maybe at prior time talked with Christ or his disciples or John the Baptist and his disciples. But he put his faith in the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Jesus was dying on the cross, his faith was that he was the Son of God, because he said, when thou enterest into thy kingdom, remember me.
Right. And what were Jesus' words? You will be with me,
yeah,
in paradise.
Yeah, I tell you today that you will be with me in paradise.
Yeah.
He didn't say, today you'll be with me in paradise. He said, I'm telling you this right now, today.
I'm telling you today.
In spite of me being on the cross and you being on a cross, we're both going to die, you will be with me in paradise.
Right. And so, you know, as far as I know from my studies, he's the only person that I know that Jesus promised or told,
yes,
you will, you're guaranteed.
Right.
Right.
And so, you know, often in our lives we make excuses for not doing what the Bible says, mm, or what we know we should do.
Right.
And I'm not going to put God in a box and say, God can't save someone who hasn't been baptized.
Right.
I don't know what God's plan is for each one, but God reads the heart.
Yes.
He knows the desires of the heart. But at the same time, neither am I going to ignore the plain word of God, what it says, that we should be baptized.
Right. And that's the point, and I'm glad you made that point, that we don't know. You know, people say, well, what if somebody didn't get baptized? We do know that God reads the heart.
Yes.
And he knows your circumstances better than you know your circumstances.
Right.
So I can fool myself. I've said this before, Ed. Mm-hmm. I can fool myself, and I can fool you and anybody around me, but I can't fool the Father and his Son. Jesus could read the heart of that man.
Right.
And when he did that, he knew that he was ready for the kingdom.
Right.
He knew that his heart was prepared, and that's the key. Our hearts have to be prepared. And the only way that I can truly prepare my heart is by accepting that Jesus is who he says he is.
Yes.
And that's what that man did.
And believe the promises that he's given his word. You know,
right.
Believe that Jesus, if you have the Son, you have life.
Amen.
Basically what it says.
Amen. Yeah, you read that text.
Yes.
So, you know, this is so important, this topic of baptism. So I think that there's another thing that comes up is, you know, so many people have been baptized, whether it's into a church or in a denomination or maybe the way they were baptized.
Right.
You know, there's the information that we have in the Bible is how were people baptized? What do we find in the scripture about, in other words, Jesus, it says in Matthew, let me just start there. We have time to cover this, I believe. And I don't,
okay.
if you still want, had some things you wanted to share about what we were talking about, I don't want to derail us. But here in Matthew chapter 28, I'm just going to read what it says here in the New King James. I'm going to start in verse 18. Actually, I'll start in verse 16 for context. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.'" So a lot of people will read this text and say, well, particularly from my background, where I come from, they'll say, well, I wasn't baptized according to what this says, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But when we examine, I have a number of verses here that I have written in my Bible. We were talking about writing in our Bibles
right,
earlier.
Yeah.
That point to every baptism that was done after this command, so after these words were penned or put down. So,
yeah.
Did you have a thought?
Yeah. Well, we don't know. Many claim that those words were added to the Bible. And you can do your own research and see those claims and,
sure.
and so on. We'll leave that to you on your own time. But we know what the Bible says in terms, Jesus was talking to his disciples. And every baptism that's listed in the New Testament in the early Christian church is baptized in the name of Jesus.
Let's look at them. I have them down here. Do we have time?
Yeah, Acts 2,
yeah.
38.
Yes, let's go there. Let's just. Do you have that, Ed?
I don't, but I want to share something with you because,
sure.
you know, oftentimes you said people are baptized into a church.
Right.
And in Luke 10, Jesus has sent his disciples out to declare the gospel and to preach the word and to heal people and to cast out demons. And they come back and they're so excited. In Luke 10:17, he says, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us through your name." Mm. And he said to them, "I saw Satan falling from heaven like lightning. Behold, I give to you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and all over the authority of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Yet do not rejoice in this, that the evil spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in a church?"
No.
"Written in heaven."
Yes.
It shouldn't matter if your name's written in a membership someplace.
That's correct.
Our membership is in heaven.
That's why here at Prophecies of Hope in this ministry, there is no membership.
No.
Because your membership is in the heavens.
Right.
You're not baptized. When we do a baptism, we do it according to what the Bible says.
Yeah.
And not we don't baptize them into a ministry or a church right. or a denomination.
We baptize them into Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So Acts 2:38.
Yes. I have that here.
All right.
It says Acts 2:38. "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'"
Baptized in whose name?
It says Jesus Christ right
and
here.
And so why are they baptizing in the name of Jesus?
Well, first of all, Jesus is the Son of God, and it's his Spirit that we receive. He brings right. us the Spirit of the Father also.
Baptism is being baptized into the death of Christ so we can be raised into a new life in him.
That's in
That's
Romans.
What baptized, Romans 6. That's read the whole chapter. That tells you exactly what baptism is about.
Yes.
So they baptize in the name of Jesus because he's the one that died on the cross.
Amen. So maybe we'll have time. Maybe we can look at that just to sound this down. Let's just look at a few more verses. We don't have to look at them all. Acts 8:16. Here's what it says, Acts 8:16. It says, "For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus."
Uh-huh.
So it mentions being baptized in Jesus' name.
And what they're talking about is they hadn't yet received the Holy Spirit.
Right, it tells you that in the verses right before that. I'm just, for time's sake, we have about 6 minutes or so, and I'm just trying to show a few things. Another one is Acts 19, I think that's it. Acts 10, I'll just give these texts out.
Right.
That way people can look them up. Acts 10, 47 and 48. Acts 19:1-6, Acts 22:16, 1 Corinthians 1:13-17, Galatians 3:27.
So some of these verses will say baptized in the name of Jesus. Some will say baptized in the Lord, in the name of the Lord.
Right.
You'll see that in some of these baptisms, people have received the Holy Spirit first and then are baptized, and like in Acts chapter 10, the story of Peter going to Cornelius and preaching the word to him and people gathered at his home.
Absolutely. So I skipped the one in Romans 6.
Okay.
Because I thought maybe we could read that.
All right.
It might be good to do that. Can you do some reading, Ed?
Sure, I can. Let me get there.
And it's Romans chapter 6.
This is the Modern King James. Yep. Let me start in verse 1.
Go right ahead.
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? The grace he's talking about is the Son of God, Jesus, who the Father sent to this earth. Mm. That's the grace of God. He gave us this gift of a Son that we don't deserve. Verse 2, let it not be. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? Do you not know? Listen to those words. Mm-hmm. Do you not know that as many of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?
That's what you said just a few minutes ago.
Yes, baptism is being about baptized into Christ's death. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life, being born again.
Amen.
For if we have been joined together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man, that old man of sin, is crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be destroyed, that from now on we should not serve sin. For he who has died has been justified from sin, talking about dying with Christ.
Yes, dying to self.
Yes. But if we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ was raised from the dead, he dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For in that he died to sin once, but in that he lives to God. Likewise, count yourselves also to be truly dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves to God as one alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So baptism, being born again, salvation, being saved by the life of Christ, has to do with dying to sin and experience a new life in Christ Jesus. How do we experience a new life in Christ Jesus? By receiving the Spirit of Christ in our hearts.
Yes, to help us to overcome any sin that's in our lives. Christ died not to allow us to continue to sin, but to help us to overcome sin. That's why he lives.
Think about that thought you just said. God sent his Son to this earth because sin is so evil. God could not tolerate sin that it required the death of his Son, his literal Son. That's how bad sin is. That's the only solution to the problem. That's the only way he could save his creation, the human race. And yet people say that Christ died because of our sins, and yet he allows us to continue to live in sin?
No. We can't continue to sin. It even talks here about our mortal bodies. We can have that promise now, right? We can overcome sin today.
God sent his son to pay the penalty for our sins so that we could overcome sin,
right.
Not that we could continue to live in sin.
So many people believe that, well, if I sin, Jesus has my back. You know, friends, please get that thinking out of your mind.
There is salvation in Jesus Christ. There is forgiveness of sins. But the purpose is not a continual sacrifice of Christ on the cross so you
right.
can have continued forgiveness of sin. The purpose is to have the ability to overcome sin in your lives because of the life of Christ living in you.
The purpose is to eradicate sin.
Yes.
It will be gone forever.
First John talks about that.
Yes. The Bible tells us that the devil and his angels will be destroyed. All of those who follow them will be destroyed. Sin does not continue forever. We've talked about this many times in the past. And so go ahead, Ed.
1 John chapter 3, starting with verse 4. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, for sin is lawlessness, or the King James says transgression of the law. And you know that he was revealed, talking about Christ, that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Everyone who abides in him does not sin. Everyone who sins has not seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who does righteousness is righteous, even as that one is righteous. He who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was revealed, that he might undo the works of the devil.
So it's going to be undone. Sin
yes.
will be done away. So we have to get sin out of our lives
yes.
now. This is the beauty of the gospel, and this is what the gospel is.
Yeah. Is it easy? No.
No, it's not.
It takes daily commitment, daily relationship with Christ and his Father. It takes
does.
Struggling to overcome.
Prayer.
Prayer.
Pray
oh, yes.
about it. You know, ask God to help you. You know, we are out of time, Ed. I hate to cut us right there, but maybe we can pick this up again next week. We'll just continue on in this
right.
study. So, friends, I hope you will continue to study God's Word. Remember what we talked about at the outset about opening it and reading it. So let's just have a word of prayer, shall
okay.
we? Father in heaven, what a blessing it is to be here and to open your Word, to see what it says. And, Father, we're grateful for the gift of Jesus Christ to help us to overcome sin. May we strive for that. May we look to Jesus and may we understand that He came not to allow us to continue in sin, but to eradicate sin, to get it out of our lives. So help us to open our hearts to receive Jesus, to overcome these things. Please be with us until we come together again next week. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, thank you for that study. Friends, thank you for tuning in, and we hope to see you here again next week right here on New Visions Radio, 7 p.m. next Sunday. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.